This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update. Shorewood police released body camera footage of the officer-involved shooting last Thursday.
Shots fired! Shots fired! I'm hit!
34-year-old Victoria Truss died in the early morning shooting near Olive Street and Bartlett Avenue in Shorewood. Two other people, including a Shorewood police officer, were injured but are expected to be okay. The shooting suspect fled and was chased hours later through Milwaukee before opening fire on police. Police killed the suspect near 6th and Reservoir. The investigation is ongoing. Four homes owned by University of Wisconsin Board of Regents members have been vandalized. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the vandalism included pro-Palestinian messages left in spray paint and fake blood on the properties, linking the regents to the Israel-Hamas war. A UW System employee's home was also targeted. UW officials say this is not free expression and they are working with local law enforcement. National violence records show gun violence is on the rise across the country. Associate Executive Director at Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort, Nick Matozewski, says solutions remain blocked by lobbying.
What you actually see is that the policies that are supported by high-moneyed interest groups or, you know, in this case, we're up against the NRA and the other gun lobby folks who get all of their money from a gun industry that doesn't want any regulations. I mean, every gun that's sold makes the NRA a little bit richer, and every policy that allows for more guns to be sold makes the gun industry a little bit richer.
Matozewski says the latest year of data shows 830 people died in 2022 from guns in suicide, homicides, or other ways. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris continues on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up... If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. So we were having a conversation. Well, technically, I was having a conversation because sometimes I talk to myself. And we were trying to come up. So, you know, every right before I do my top five at five, I have like a little statement I make. And then I play the number. So I thought I was going to do a thing where I was going to say, this person is an Indian giver. And I thought, that's probably a cliched, somehow racist, somehow, you know, because, you know, everything we do now is configured to offend somebody. As if one person that's offended has to stop everything from happening if you got 90,000 or 90 million people that aren't. Which is just weird to me, but, you know, we don't go with the majority now. We go with the minority. So Is giving money back after it's been given to you, does it make you a hypocrite? That's what I changed it to. Because I was going to ask, are they being an Indian giver? And then somebody said, you can't say Indian giver. And so I Googled it. I said, let me just use Google. Let me see what it says when I Google the term Indian giver. And when I Googled it, it said a couple things. The term Indian giver is an offensive and outdated phrase, says who? They never quite give a reference of who finds it. Outdated, used to describe someone, listen to what this says, who gives a gift and then takes it back or expects something in return. It originated from a misunderstanding between European settlers and indigenous peoples regarding gift-giving practices. The phrase is considered a racial slur due to its derogatory association with indigenous cultures. So because it includes the name Indian, it automatically makes it offensive. So every time a CPA says we're in the black, I'm offended. There's a black cloud in the sky, I'm offended. This is stupid. I'm sorry. Someone who gives a gift and then takes it back or expects something in return and then expects something in return. Got it? Weird. But naturally, you ready? It was the indigenous people who didn't understand it, not the white people. That in and of itself is a problem. To put your culture on other people and then tell other people they're wrong because they don't agree with your culture and it's not even their culture. Hey, Laren, I'm not even falling for that one. I'm not even falling for that one. That was good. That was good. He almost had me, and I looked at it, and I went, that's a – I said it to myself, of course, because, you know, try to be slick.
Number five.
So, Black Enterprise, my whole top five at five today comes from Black Enterprise. We talked about it after Target made a $300,000 donation to the National Baptist Convention USA, one of the largest black church groups in the country, which I used to belong. Some of the organizers who helped push for national boycotts of the company over its rollback of its stance regarding diversity, equity, inclusion are asking them to return the money. According to USA Today's Nakima Levy Armstrong, a Minnesota-based activist, and Pastor Jamal Harrison Bryant, in separate statements, called for the group to return the money because they see it as a betrayal of the boycotts they work to organize, particularly among members of the Black Baptist Church community. You don't speak for the Black Baptist Church community. You don't get to tell somebody what they get to boycott or not. You can ask, but you can't make them. We live in America. You can't make us follow you because you want us to follow you. And then when we won't help, tell us that we got to fend for ourselves and work in America. You work, you can do all this other stuff. You can't have it both ways. So both Target and the National Baptist Convention USA characterized the donation as a part of a larger commitment to share values, including access to education, economic development, and entrepreneurship programs. According to the Target spokesperson, we're proud to be sponsoring the conference series as one of the many ways we invest to make a meaningful impact in communities across the country by supporting access to education, economic development initiatives, and entrepreneurship programs. Meanwhile, the press release from the National Baptist Convention USA contained a statement from President Boysie Kimber, who emphasized the shared commitment to community empowerment through small business and entrepreneur development, investments in education and student support and workforce and skill development that unlocks growth across our communities between Kimber's organization and the Minneapolis-based retailer. In their statement, Kimber also added that Target's donation will help provide scholarships, support senior citizens, and invest in entrepreneurship programs that uplift our people in the future. Can't argue. I totally agree. I don't think they should give it back. I don't think they should give it back. Somebody needs to sit down at the table with Target and have a conversation. They made a $2 billion pledge to the black communities, calling for they call for Target to invest in black-owned banks, establish retail centers at HBCUs, and to fully restore its diversity initiatives. You can't make somebody do that, any more so than you would let them come in and whitewash your Sunday service. They won't. Have you heard of Hillsong?
I have not.
Okay. Hillsong is a white group, not a white group. It's a white organization that puts out white music, white gospel music, white gospel. I don't know if that goes right. White Christian music. If I played some of Hillsong, you'd be like, It's not wrong. It's not right. It's just different. And it's a different kind of music. And people need to understand that you get to listen and do what you want to do. And you get to hear what you want to hear. And if people don't like it, it's okay. But you can't make somebody decide, you know, we want you to do what we want to do. And we want you to follow what we want you to follow. And that's it. You can't. You just can't. And I don't understand why people don't understand that.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High.
I'll be sleeping 5 minutes.
Your hidden glory in
Christ. Right. And it's just different. It's just different. I'm okay with that. But it's just different. And so because it's different, you don't really do it. But would you want that? Okay, we want to come in and tell you what you're gonna do and what you're gonna play and how you're gonna have it and what you're gonna do. No, you wouldn't. You'd be on fire. So you're going to tell them what they're going to do with their initiative? Tell them to play this.
All right, all right. Put your hands together in this place.
That's praise and worship music. Or? Okay, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell somebody you have to follow this diversity initiative. No. They made that clear. They made that clear. While I understand that and support it, you might want to drop the diversity, make it inclusive. But when they hear diversity, they lose their minds. I don't really understand why. I really don't get why, but they lose their minds. And I don't know what that is. I really don't understand what that is. But then again, you don't have to worry about it because, you know, you can just, I don't know, chalk it up to another day of racism.
Number 4.
So also from BlackEnterprise.com, the Confederate group claims that an exhibit will undermine Stone Mountain's initial purpose in history. So I went back and looked at the history of Stone Mountain. A Confederate group has sued Georgia officials over plans to debut an exhibit focusing on white supremacy, slavery, and segregation at Stone Mountain Park. The Georgia Division of the Sons of the Confederates filed the lawsuit July 1st, claiming that the State Parks Association broke state law with its plan to install the exhibit, prompted by the racial justice protests of 2020. The Stone Mountain Memorial Association voted in 2021 to adopt and develop an exhibit that tells the history behind the infamous mountain. According to the Associated Press, they also removed the Confederate flags once located on the park's walking grounds, which the Sons also sued about It may. Stone Mountain is has a bit of a dark history in Georgia. The Stone Park features the largest Confederate monument in the United States, an enlarged engraving of Confederate generals on its side. The park, a popular hiking destination, also has ties to the Ku Klux Klan's reemergence. The same year the carving was created in 1915, commissioned by the United Daughters of the Confederacy, the Ku Klux Klan held a comeback celebration on top of the mountain. I wonder what they burned. Anyway, so here's my thing. You ready? Who cares? Build your own monument, make it bigger than theirs, and show yours. We spend an inordinate amount of time telling somebody else what not to do than to tell somebody else what to do. My thing is, do you build a monument? But this idiocy of suing to stop somebody from building a monument because you don't like it is unfortunate. Like, that literally shows how racist it is. Now, I would have left the Confederate flag up. I would have brought, like, tour guides through and say, see, this is what happens when you're so racist that you lose your mind. You make flags that big and you make monuments to idiotic things. And you, like, that's what I would do. That's me. That's what I would do. The exhibit aimed to inform visitors of the mountain's connection to this racist past while also exposing how the monument contributed to the Lost Cause ideology that attempted to romanticize the Confederacy and its white supremacist values. Georgia's General Assembly approved an $11 million budget to curate the exhibit, which also would highlight a black community that resided in the area following the Civil War, as well as renovations to the park's Memorial Hall. The exhibit has yet to open, however, as the new legal challenge hopes to prevent its unveiling. In the filing, the Sons of Confederate Veterans believe the exhibit will completely repurpose Stone Mountain and its purpose in maintaining a specific part of Georgia's history. Now, that is true. It'll wipe it out. Because, you know, every time black people come in and do stuff, it just moves everything out the way because it's so great. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I don't really get it. I really don't understand.
Number three.
So, currently, have you ever been on a cruise before?
I am. I'm a big fan of cruises.
Really? Have you been on Carnival Cruise?
Carnival is the dumpster of the sea.
Wow. Well, it's more than that now. They're under fire after implementing a series of onboard policies that some black passengers say are restrictive and at best racist. This is from blackenterprise.com. According to Carnival, the changes are meant to, quote, enhance safety, improve the overall guest experience. But for some travelers, the message feels exclusionary. We got the message loud and clear. We are not your demographic anymore, a TikToker said. And she canceled a reservation for a friend's birthday celebration. Carnival decided they wanted to rebrand. Among the new policies, zero tolerance for marijuana. Even if it's legal in a passenger's home state. Because cruise ships fall under U.S. federal maritime law, all cannabis bans are in effect. So then you think, oh, okay. Well, there's also a ship curfew for minors. If you're 17 and under, you got to be off public decks by 1 a.m. unless participating in a supervised youth program or accompanied by an adult. It's like going to the mall. And the cruise line also allegedly banned the popular. Well, see, some things when you do it, it just doesn't make any sense. And so when you do it, it doesn't make any sense because it's calling out very specific people, right? It's calling out people that do certain things, and I'm trying to think, have I ever seen a white person do that? I don't think I've ever seen a white person dance to the music that they're talking about getting rid of. And so the issue with Carnival is that the line banned a certain dance. Now, I didn't know dancing was racist, but evidently it is. So evidently, the cruise line banned the popular song Wobble and the dance. Another rule has drawn criticism in a new ban. No non-battery operated fans, because you know that fan that, you know. So at some point, they're telling black people, we don't want your music in here. We don't want you here. We don't want your music here. We don't want you here at all. And that's unfortunate because we spend a lot of money on cruises. But I guess it's not that really, you know. I don't get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll dance, dance. You ready? Where them fans at?
Is this appropriation of cowboy music? And so this is the song where they flip the fans, right? And then people get mad. I guess they mad about that too. They don't want fans. It's crazy. Like, who complains about that? Who would complain about that? Personal Bluetooth speakers, limiting the playing of hip hop and rap music on board clubs. I guess they just don't want black people. So why don't they just tell me, excuse me, black people are not allowed here. Call Tom Joyner and y'all could do y'all cruise over there. That's all. So I guess I got to go back and cancel any future plans to ever do a cruise in my life. Oh, and by the way, last week I was telling y'all something was wrong with socialists. They different.
Number two.
Just days after speaking in front of leaders like Al Sharpton to garner support in the New York City mayoral race, front runner Zoran Mamdani is receiving backlash for allegedly claiming to be black on his college application, New York Post report. A bombshell report from the New York Times highlighted claims that the Democratic primary winner checked the box black or African-American and Asian boxes in his 2009 application to Columbia University, a time when affirmative action was still plausible. Affirmative action is still plausible. DEI is not. Anyway, critics feel the move was Mandani's attempt to take advantage of the past policy at the Ivy League institution where his father was a professor. Unfortunately, his plan was unsuccessful. His application was denied. And almost 20 years later, and ahead of a major political run, black voters are calling the identity claim shameful. I always knew something was off about him. Someone said, who lives in the Bronx, why are you claiming something that you are not? We could have potentially took away an opportunity for someone else. Yep. And not everybody there is not backing Mayor Adams because of whatever reason. So your city's going to crap and you don't have any money. So you go to the White House and you get money from Trump to help your city because it's a federal issue. And now people are mad at you because you went to Trump for money. But had he went to Biden for money, Biden didn't give him any money. So I'm just saying. In a viral video of a woman calling him out while walking, Mamdani said he would never claim to be African-American while stating to be an Indian, Uganda New Yorker. What? When asked why, the politician claimed that he felt it would be misleading. But then he did it on his form. Anybody from New York, you deserve what you get. Can you say foolish?
Number one.
This from Black Enterprise. A new report is revealing alarming rise in women's unemployment. We touched on it last week, but it's kind of fleshed out a little more. The general unemployment rate, which has been steady during the past year for every group of workers that is, except Black women, which some economic experts warn is a sign of bad times for the world economy after the latest jobs report was released July 3rd. According to the Ninth News, over the last 3 months, the unemployment rate for Black women has been somewhere around 6%. That figure is twice the unemployment rate of white workers, and this points to potential problems for the overall economic outlook. Well, I wonder how. Well, Jessica Fulton, a senior fellow at the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, a think tank focused on Black Americans, indicated to the outlet that due to the presence of systemic racism and inequality in the labor market, Black workers are always the first ones affected by an underlying issue with the market. Now, can you call that systemic racism when every organization is different and every organization has their own way of handling it? I don't know if you can call that systemic. If they were all part of the same organization, I think you could call it systemic. However, Black workers and particularly Black women show up as a canary in the coal mine, given the picture of what may happen to everyone else later. Do you understand the phrase, Glenn, canary in the coal mine?
I do not.
Okay. Canary in the coal mine is back in the day when they had the coal mines and you would go down in the elevator. They kept canaries with them. And when the gas would overpower a canary and kill it, they knew there was a gas leak and they would leave because clean gas is odorless. They add that egg smell now so that you can smell a gas leak. But gas in and of itself is completely odorless. So they would take a canary in the coal mine with them, and if the canary died, they knew there was a gas leak, they would get out. So you're kind of the barometer of what's going to go bad. In employment, they use Black women. Canary in the coal mine. To her point, the overall Black unemployment rate rose to 6.8% in June after posting a 6% rate in May. A sharp increase that was driven by the increase of Black women's unemployment, as the unemployment rate of Black men has been consistently over 6% since February. But the overall rate of Black unemployment was somewhat tempered by Black women's lower unemployment rate. Something to understand about this before we go to break. Something to understand about unemployment. What they're tracking in unemployment is not people without jobs. It's people without jobs who are seeking employment. The number of people that are without work that are not seeking employment, they're not counted. And so we have to be clear when we talk about what exactly the real number of unemployment is. Number two, many people were involved in government work and they were involved in DEI positions that were not renewed. And so some of that plays a part in those numbers. And I think it's important for us to make sure that we go in and figure out what those numbers are and how they reflect actual unemployment. Because for me, I think it might be higher. I think it might be a tad bit higher. And if that's the case, we need to be careful. 833-212-1017 is the number. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. And we're calling all Black-owned business owners and entrepreneurs. Are you looking to share your story or grow your reach? Well, we've teamed up with Associated Bank for our Black Business Give Back. In each quarter, four lucky business owners will win an opportunity to spotlight their brand and journey on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. So to sign up for Black Business Spotlight interview, visit blackbusinessgiveback.com. That's blackbusinessgiveback, one word, .com. Let's rebuild our community's backbone through exposure on the truth. For official rules, head to blackbusinessgiveback.com. All that from Associated Bank, member FDIC.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
A beautiful lady.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. You know, truth violence, it's everywhere. It's everywhere you look. It's a problem that affects all of us. But together we can make a difference. And so the award-winning 1017 The Truth wants to ignite positive change by bringing awareness to the senseless violence occurring in our community. We've seen it over the last week or two. And so that's why we're hosting our third annual Truth Walk Against Violence. That's led by Tori Lowe on Saturday, July 12th from Victory Over Violence Park down MLK Drive, right to our studio at 3rd Street Market. So over the next few days, Tori Lowe will be speaking with politicians just like he did today. So you can listen to the rebroadcast of Tori Lowe, County Executive, was in today, and other community leaders about how we can better provide resources to stop this rise in violence. So if you want to join the fight to stop violence, go to truthwalkagainstviolence.com. That's truthwalkagainstviolence.com. Right now, sign up for our Walk Against Violence supported by 1MKE. That's Saturday, July 12th, 9 a.m. to noon, right here. For you, Truth Nation, that's all you need to do. Just do it. Just show up, sign up. Well, not in that order. Let's sign up and then show up and make sure you let people know exactly what needs to be done here in the city of Milwaukee. You know, I was looking back at Black History. Every day I look up what's going on in Black History, and I found a story. It was the first story that I ever recognized that white people didn't like black people. Now, it shook me. This is from NBCNews.com, NBC Black. It shook me as a kid because I was only 5 years old. And I saw it on TV. You know, everybody had that black and white TV with the coat hanger you had to use when the antenna broke so that you could see the only three stations we had, CBS, NBC, and CBS, NBC, and ABC. That was it. Oh, and we had Channel 9 in Chicago, WGN. That was it. This from Jackson, Mississippi. More than 60 years after white supremacists assassinated civil rights leader Medgar Evers, his daughter still sees the same strain of political violence at work in American society. She said it's painful. That's Rena Evers Everett. She was 8 years old when her father, a field secretary for the NAACP, was shot to death in the driveway of their home in Jackson, Mississippi. A few months after Evers' killing, in 1963, President John F. Kennedy was gunned down. The deaths of civil rights leaders Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Robert F. Kennedy followed later, same decade. Now experts say the level of political violence in America over the past few years is likely the highest it's seen since the 1960s and 70s. The past year alone has seen the assassination of a Minnesota state lawmaker and her husband, the killing of two Israeli embassy staff workers, two assassination attempts on then presidential candidate Donald Trump. At the 4-day conference celebrating Evers' life, just before it would have been his 100th birthday on July 2nd. His daughter was joined by the daughters of slain civil rights leaders, Carrie Kennedy, the daughter of Robert F. Kennedy, Betty Dahmer, the daughter of civil rights and voting rights activist Vernon Dahmer. It's a convening of Medgar Evers at 100, a legacy of justice, a future of change. But has that really changed? Has American life really changed that much? When we come back, you'll have my answer. I'm interested in yours. 833-212-1017. Has it changed? Has it really, really changed?
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Now, what did I say I was going to talk about when I came back? Anybody remember? Show me in the chat. I'm waiting. I want to see if anybody was listening. 833-212-1017. Hit me in the talking text or the YouTube chat. Do you remember what I said I was going to talk about when I came back? Anybody? You remember, Glenn? Oh, no, I wouldn't listen.
I remember.
What was it?
Let me look at my notes real quick.
You said, let me look at my notes. In other news, I was going to tell you my thoughts on something. You remember?
How has American life changed since the, I want to say, civil rights and Jim Crow era?
No. Close. Anybody remember? 833-212-1017 is the number. Political violence. Yeah, he was right. It's not going to change. So what are we going to do about it? Nothing. Like it's always been. It's never going to change. Regarding Summerfest, Ms. Sean said the price gets rid of the riffraff. And then Reginald says there is such a thing as high-end buffoonery and shenanigans. Not at Summerfest. Anyway, Lauren said the big yellow shirt would make people stop fighting. These guys were huge. Cops, sheriff, and bouncers would make extra money working the fest. Now, you got to be in uniform now, but then you shoot people in uniform, too. So that, like, what do we do? Bring in the National Guard now? That's overkill. Dimitri asked me, what do I feel about? Dimitri, are you black or white? I just got to ask. Dimitri asked me, what do I feel about black fatigue? Well, I need you to understand, in some instances, it refers to the, I'm going to read what it says in the Google AI overview. Black fatigue refers to the mental and physical exhaustion that arises from the cumulative effects of repeated acts of discrimination and systemic racism experienced by black people. It's the people in the system, not the system. It's easy to blame a system and then say, fix the system. And then we fix the system and it still happens. Why is that? Because it's the people. Here's my issue. Result of persistent racism? Try being a slave. You think you got black fatigue? How dare you? People lived under adverse conditions where they had to cross the Atlantic in the hull of a ship chained to people that had been dead for months because they were slaves bought and paid for. And you actually are going to tell me that black fatigue, because you have some mental and physical exhaustion, that you shouldn't just chuck it up and step up and get it done? You know why? Because it's hard. It's hard every day. Those that need mental health assistance should go get mental health assistance. Personally, this is just me. If you haven't seen a therapist, something wrong with you. Sometime in your life, you're going to need a therapist. Young, teen, adult, middle-aged, older. You're going to need a therapist. The people that scare me are the ones that don't go. I got this. No, you don't got this. I'm sorry. That's black vernacular for those of you that are listening. You know, don't got. Okay. You don't. And so many times you just tap out. Like, I'm not going to sit here and argue and fight. I'm just out. I don't think black fatigue has anything to do with the recent incident at Summerfest. I forgot there was a time when Summerfest didn't have black mainstream. Yep. Kwanda say I was 3 cruises away from platinum. You can go platinum, just not there.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
It's been one of those days, Monday after the 4th of July weekend. Everybody's traveling, getting back into the groove. I want to say thank you all to those on the YouTube chat and talking text line. Appreciate you. Make sure you hang out. Denise Thomas is here with Truth Unfiltered from 6 to 8. Then we'll jump into some Tory Lowe and on to the rebroadcast until 22 hours later, little old me will show up again to cause you grief and all sorts of fun things. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out. Have a great day. Glenn. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. God bless. Take care. I'm out.
Be quiet.